From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Looking for a midlife career change? Got some cash in the bank? Today is the deadline to apply to run for a bunch of seats in the state legislature. Partisan candidates for seats where the incumbent is termed out or seeking re-election have till 5 p.m. to file their papers for the June 3rd primary. In districts where the incumbent can seek re-election but doesn't want to, the deadline is Wednesday. There are nearly three dozen wide-open races, but that's not to say you can look forward to a slam dunk if you enter. The LA Times notes today a lot of political veterans are vying for the open seats. The federal government has just released the latest employment report for February. The U.S. unemployment rate fell a wee bit to 4.8%. But analysts say what seems like a positive development is not so positive because there weren't new jobs created last month. The labor force actually shrank. California released its latest job numbers last week. The state's unemployment rate was 5.9% in January, up from 5% in January of 2007. That sounds like a recession to Christopher Thornburg of Beacon Economics.
Overall for the year, that growth was about zero. However, what you saw was positive growth in the beginning of the year, and really the loss of jobs starting somewhere around August and accelerating towards the end of the year. Those kind of trends are very powerful. They have a certain degree of momentum. And what that means is what started last year is likely to continue into this year.
Thornburg's consulting firm has already pronounced a recession all over California, despite still high housing prices in urban coastal counties and steady growth in trade, transportation, and utilities. But call two economists and you'll get three opinions about the health of California, one of the nation's biggest economic engines. Economist Ed Lamer of UCLA's Anderson School of Management says California's economy is sluggish, but a collapse in housing alone does not constitute a recession.
We're all realizing at different points in time that our homes are not worth what we thought they were. And the result is we cut back spending a little bit. But you realize it next month. I realize it 6 months from now. Somebody else realizes it 2 years from now. That's a recipe for slow growth going forward, but not a recipe for the kind of catastrophic downturn that a recession normally is.
In a play on the Las Vegas slogan, Lamer insists what happens in housing will stay in housing. Construction, for instance, accounted for most of California's job cuts in January, more than 69,000 people out of work. Hollywood played a supporting role in January's job losses. Nearly 20,000 of the roughly 76,000 jobs lost in L.A. County were in the information category, which includes film industry and sound recording workers. But economists say the strike was a temporary blip on the radar, that writers, dry cleaners, animal handlers, and the like should be back to work soon if they're not already. California is slated to spend $39 billion next year on Medi-Cal, providing health care to low-income residents. It's the second-largest expense in the state budget behind education, which makes it an obvious target in lean times. Sarah Varney reports recent budget cuts off the backs of health care providers may push physicians to stop seeing poor patients altogether.
The math is pretty simple. To cut back on Medi-Cal spending, you can toughen eligibility rules so fewer adults and children qualify, scale back on medical benefits, or pay doctors less for the services they provide. Over the decades, as California lawmakers faced budget gaps, they almost always picked the last option. That's meant the state ranks 44th out of 50 states for physician reimbursement. California also ranks poorly in the percentage of doctors, particularly specialists, who accept Medi-Cal patients, says Peter Harbage with the nonpartisan think tank The New America Foundation.
For every 100,000 people in California, there are 70 primary care doctors. When you look at Medi-Cal, for every 100,000 people, there are only 46 primary care doctors.
That means adults and children with Medi-Cal often face long waits for appointments, particularly when they need to see a specialist. In the 1990s, California increased physician fees to try to entice more doctors into the program. It didn't work. That may have been because rates weren't raised enough. But in surveys, doctors say they have reasons other than poor pay for staying away. They think the paperwork is too burdensome, it's too difficult to order tests or consultations with specialists, and Medi-Cal patients, who tend to be sicker and may not speak English, require extra time. The doctors who do stick with the program, says healthcare expert Peter Harbage, don't seem to be in it for the money. Harbidge says there's the belief that doctors who take Medi-Cal will continue to see patients even if their rates are slashed further.
If a doctor is on Medi-Cal, they believe it to be more of a calling. They certainly don't see it as a way to make money. I mean, most doctors who are on Medi-Cal are making a sacrifice by doing it. And so at what point do they really start to walk away? I don't think anyone knows.
The 10% rate cut approved by the governor will be the final straw, says Dr. Stephen Polanski, an obstetrician and gynecologist in Sacramento. More than 60% of Polanski's pregnant patients are on Medi-Cal, and up until now, he's never discriminated based on insurance.
That's been our tradition. My original partner and I have been doing this for 30 years, and quite honestly, we take a lot of pride in the fact that we are, I think, haven for patients who are low income.
But Polanski says he has to pay his nurses, doctors, and receptionists. His costs keep going up, and reimbursement from the state keeps going down.
Most likely what's going to happen with that is we are not going to do any primary care for Medi-Cal anymore. And we take pride in the fact that we are a women's health center that can see patients for high blood pressure as well as pregnancy and vaginitis and other GYN-related problems. But we just can't afford to do it.
And Polanski says his practice will begin putting Medi-Cal patients who need non-emergency appointments behind those with private insurance. And he'll likely no longer take Medi-Cal patients with high-risk pregnancies because they're too time-consuming. These women will have a shrinking number of options, says Polanski, and will head to the only place that is required by law to take them, the emergency room. The lower reimbursement rates are scheduled to take effect July 1st. Those rate cuts are meant to help close this year's budget gap. Governor Schwarzenegger has proposed continuing the payment reduction to help close next year's budget gap as well. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
That's the California Report for Friday, March 7th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Howard Gelman, Danny Bringer, Seal Muller, and Jim Bennett. The show was directed this week by Rory Gallagher and Mina Kim. Our interns are June Stinson, Ali Tabatabai, and Leanne Lucetta. The editor is Kat Snow. Our senior editor is Pat Flynn. The producers are Victoria Malione and Erica Kelly. Ingrid Becker is the senior producer. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org. And the Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.